When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Hey, welcome to Big Fish, Small Pod. I'm Andrew Riddell. Today is May 25th. The Marlins are facing the Rays today, just like the Marlins faced the Rays last night in Tampa Bay. Well, St. Petersburg, specifically. As, you know, the Marlins faced the Rays. I'm repeating myself because it feels like it's been repeated. We know kind of what Tampa does on a regular basis. They have a roster of major league hitters that will take like good swings at the plate, and a roster of major league pitchers that all throw pretty hard and with a lot of spin. They like can really develop that sort of athlete that can put a lot into the pitch, and the sort of hitter that can maintain a steady swing. They have a few, like, solid regulars. You like Kevin Kiermaier, that's been with them for quite a while now. And a few, like, other stable players. It's a team not quite built offensively through your, like, top tools, but more, like, maintained offensively through that, like, swing that you see with a lot of their players. And it almost felt like you knew what was going to happen going into the game. And that was, I mean, based on your lineup card there, Eric Gonzalez, Joe Doonan slotting in for injuries. The Marlins middle infield now, like, definitely taken down quite a bit by injuries. So the lineup showed that lack of talent at the top. Certainly not an edge in the game for Miami. It's just a really tall task to try and hit Tampa Bay pitching. So even the Marlins, top of the roster, had some struggles. Garrett Cooper felt like he was carrying the team for the bulk of the game. Brian Anderson on base streak ended, and an 0-for for the offense. 4-0, the final. Pablo Lopez, 3 home runs given up. Quite a few for Pablo. What I seem to notice, being that I like haven't so much focused on pitching this season, Pablo seemed to be inconsistent at times, now and again, like kind of like getting a ball in the dirt. And Tampa Bay put like a consistent offensive push out there against Pablo. Wasn't really a batter in the lineup that brought the intensity down. Pretty steady swings all through the lineup. That's been something of a consistency in Tampa Bay, where even like, you know, your most like unassuming sort of like Brett Phillips character can kind of come in and have your big hit. Their offense draws a steady attack, and quite a few players have been able to hang in that system. And I mean, beyond that, this is a solid World Series contending team. So with Miami, we didn't really see what you hope to see in a win. Obviously the kind of off night for Pablo, but it's hard really to take much forward from tonight, other than perhaps the 3 Ks for Jorge Soler. That might indicate that like Tampa's able to really like lock in on this guy. He's certainly like a been around the block veteran, so it's not a surprise that other teams would really know how to pitch him at the plate. But more than that, it's just not a great feeling when your like big kind of like tower power guy comes up with 3 strikeouts. It's been a bit of a rough start to the season for Jorge Soler, and it's been perhaps like the opposite for Gerard Encarnacion now at AAA Jacksonville. Kind of a blending transition there to Gerard, because he really caught my eye tonight. He's been on the radar and on the move with his recent promotion to Jacksonville. Third home run of the year at AAA for Gerard. 27 at-bats, 3 home runs. Home run every 9 at-bats. Pretty stellar numbers. Almost don't even really know how to talk about it. That sort of like power threat hasn't really been present for the Miami Marlins offense in the last a half decade. So I took a bit of a deeper dive into him and recognized where he's been brought up, like, really steadily, going up to, like, AA last year from high A, then going up to high A the year before. Just basically rung by rung up the developmental system in a very, like, rung by rung manner. I already said that, but I want to emphasize that specific choice there. It could be, like, varying philosophies on how to bring your prospects to the majors. We saw in 2020, we saw Jazz and Jesus Sanchez really get, like, kind of, like, a peek at the bigs before really, like, a more thorough debut in 2021. So something like that with Gerard does seem almost like an inevitability at this point. I mean, I'm talking myself in no expertise on the actual decision-making process currently in Miami, but with just the perspective to say that this sort of productive hitter is exactly what the Marlins need, and they have been building their team in a sort of, like, create a dynasty-type manner, and sometimes that is overly cognizant of your, like, service time, and there's, like, financial benefit to potentially waiting even longer to promote a prospect than absolutely necessary, just to, like, try to keep as many talented players in your clutches as you possibly can. But what we could see is a sort of flip from that sort of, like, build a dynasty, laying that, like, groundwork for a successful organization, that, like, team with, like, layers and layers of talent all through the majors to the minors on paper, and get into more of, like, a sort of win-now aggressive approach organizationally. Now, like, we've seen a bit of a precedent for it, like, last year, really, like, embarrassing way to have to describe this one, but when the Marlins were kind of falling out of it in 2021 and they made the Panic trade to get Joe Panic, it felt like a strong, like, bolstering move, but it wasn't that, like, over the top move that has been hinted at with regards to, like, a center field. But I mean, it could be any sort of over-the-top move still in the works as the team goes into, like, a distinct win-now trajectory with, like, an increase in, like, player payroll. You could, before that, still see these, like, smaller changes and, like, more aggressive promotions to just ensure you're fielding the best club at the major league level. And if Gerard keeps it up, hitting, like, 370 with power, it's hard to argue against a promotion. Hitting is, after all, exactly what the team needs. Anyhow, the Marlins will be back at it with the Rays today, May 25th, so stay with it on Bally Sports Florida for the podcast. I've been Andrew Werdahl. I'll be back with you on Friday. Until then, please enjoy Daniel Rodriguez, and the rest of Fish Stripes coverage of the 2022 Miami Marlins season. Thank you.